calling all detectives. When burglars stole some valuable jewelry, the victim threatened to have me arrested. That is the situation on this page from my casebook, the casebook of Jerry Browning, private detective. There are times when even a private detective like me, Jerry Browning, runs into impossible situations. Mrs. Adler, are you sure that's the report you want me to make to Consolidated Insurance? Okay, good night. I sat in my car in front of the suburban home of Mrs. Olivet Adler and worried. A few days earlier, burglars entered the Adler home while the family was away, jimmied the window, entered and stole jewelry worth about $8,000, all of it covered by a blanket insurance policy. Yet Mrs. Adler had just refused to give me a description of the stolen items or to file a loss claim with Consolidated Insurance. John Cooley, head of the Investigations Department of Consolidated, listened to my report, then...
All right, Browning, mark the case closed.
But, Mr. Cooley, do we just let it go at that?
Browning, if Mrs. Adler wishes to assume her loss, that is her privilege, and very commendable, too.
Okay, maybe you're satisfied to forget it, but not me. I'm investigating further. I can be stubborn. I spent a week of my own time checking into the Adler jewel theft case. Investigated servants, friends, members of the family. Got nowhere. And then my friend, Lieutenant Dawson, called me down to headquarters.
Jerry, you've been hanging around Mrs. Olivet Adler's house bothering people. Jerry, cut it out, or you'll be arrested as a public nuisance.
When I tried to get to the bottom of a jewel theft case, I was threatened with arrest by the victim. I went on back to my office, got out the file folder marked Mrs. Olivet Adler, and tore it up and flung it into the basket. And I sat down at my desk and burned. I was still burning when two unsavory-looking characters sidled in. Each had one hand thrust deep into an overcoat pocket.
Browning, I'm Tiny Dayton. This here's Carver Malden.
I got up. Sit down, gents.
Nah, you sit down.
I sat down. Tiny took his hand out of his overcoat pocket and brought forth not a gun, but a handful of jewelry. Rings, necklaces, brooches. Carver kept his hand in his pocket. What's this stuff?
It's Mrs. Olivet Adler's jewels. Me and Carver glammed it. Huh, Carver?
Carver nodded tightly.
Now listen, Browning. We ain't no dickering mode. Mrs. Adler takes this stuff back, see? And we give her $1,000, see? And everybody's all square, got it?
You give her back her jewelry and $1,000. Oh, sure, sure, I got it.
Okay, give it to him, Carver.
I gulped as Carver withdrew his hand from his pocket. But all he did was fling a heap of crumbled currency on my desk.
Count it.
I counted it. But Tiny wasn't finished yet.
Now, give me a receipt.
It'll be hard to believe, but I sat there under the gimlet gaze of those two mugs and wrote out a receipt for a parcel of jewelry, itemized, and $1,000 received in cash. And finally...
Here, Gumshoe, go buy yourself a cigar.
He tossed a $20 bill on my desk, and then... they were gone. I put the 20 in my pocket, the other money into an envelope, wrapped the jewelry in a handkerchief, and after giving my visitors plenty of time to leave the building, I started out. Getting Mrs. Adler even to see me was a bit less difficult than dropping in for lunch on the president, but I finally made it by sending the butler in with one of her rings. Here, Mrs. Adler, all your missing stuff, and also $1,000 in cash, compliments of the burglars. Mrs. Adler smiled and said something vague about it being so nice. Then she got up, as an indication that the interview was over. Oh, no, Mrs. Adler, we don't do it that fast. You have to check all this stuff, then count the money. After that, you give me a receipt, because I had to give one. I dictated the wording of the receipt, made sure it was identical with the one I'd given. Then, you're sure you don't want to ask me any questions, Mrs. Adler? No, I didn't suppose you would.
eventually she'd give you a receipt, Gumshoe.
I was in a state where nothing could have surprised me. I fished in my pocket, handed the receipt back over my shoulder. Naturally, Tiny, naturally she give me a receipt.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep, it checks. Okay, let me out here. Browning, it's a pleasure to do business with an honest character like you. Well, don't take any wooden cops.
And that was that. A nice, simple transaction. The kind that can make a man lose his mind if he broods about it long enough. I thought of everything I could remember about the circumstances of the theft. A cop walking his beat had noticed the open window of the Adler home, turned in an alarm. The house had been full of cops when she got home later that evening. Yeah. If it weren't for that, she'd probably never even have reported the loss. Why should she? She knew how to get her stuff back, with payment to boot, and receipts. That's what stuck the worst in my throat, the receipts. Huh. The next day, I started a new investigation, this time of Mrs. Olivet Adler.
Adler? Ain't that a kind of shoe?
No. She's a dame with a house full of ice. An easy touch. And for a percentage...
Bartender, this guy is dishonest. Pitch him out.
I picked myself up off the sidewalk, dusted myself off. But I didn't feel bad. In fact, I was beginning to feel fine, because at last I had an idea. It took me 2 days longer to prove my idea, but I did it. And it led me step by step to the office of the warden of the state penitentiary.
This is in the strictest confidence, Mr. Browning. Mrs. Olivet Adler is the owner of a large novelty toy factory. Employs several hundred workers. The bulk of them men with criminal records who've asked for and get a chance to prove that they can go straight. I imagine that stealing from Mrs. Adler is considered a breach of etiquette, if not downright hazardous. Well, good day, Mr. Browning.
That's all there was to it. Except that one day...
Browning, what did you ever do about that Adler jewel theft case?
Huh? Oh, nothing, Mr. Cooley, not a thing.
Hmm. Not like you. You're probably lying. That's all, Browning.
And that was all. Like I said, nothing is impossible. You can even slap a tiger in the face, if he happens to know you by your first name.